Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, we're good. Coming up on TMS.
Speck of dust!
Justice League has a change.
Those fries were stale.
How flat is that earth anyway?
Took an arrow to the head.
Making things with Bill.
And jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I have a handsome new neighbor.
Oh, mother.
A doctor.
Oh, my. Here he is.
All right, think fast. Think Best Savers with fast-acting mint crystals.
Dinner tomorrow?
Perfect.
Good dog for day. The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Better than a straw tart blueberry pop torch.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Morning Stream. It is TMS for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2016. 17, rather. 17. Come on now, get it straight. My name is Scott Johnson. That guy right there, he be Brian Ibbett.
Yar, I be. Good morning, you sexy people out there.
Yeah. Aren't they hot?
Sexy. Sexy. Except for that one right there. And they know who I'm pointing at right now.
Gary at Lantronics.
That is kind of who I'd pick out. He's not who I was meeting, though.
No.
But he'd be like this, the person that we were talking about the most recently, yeah. Pre-show.
He'd be your guy.
No, he's everybody's sexy. Yeah. Everybody's, we got a hot tadpool. Yeah. Hot tadpool.
H-A-W-T, all the way.
It's like a hot tub. It's not even a tadpool. It's a tad tub.
Oof.
Because it's filled with so many hot people.
Yeah, get some chlorine. We need more chlorine. So, Brian, pre-show, we were talking a little bit about your fancy new Pokemon catcher, and I just want to take a second here at the top of the show and talk about it. So,
okay.
I didn't even know this existed. It looks to me like a Fitbit or something, and all it just auto-collects, or how does it work? Tell people at home how it works.
Yeah, it's called a Pokemon gotcha.
Okay. Is this made is it an official piece of hardware or no?
No, it's not officially Niantic or the Pokemon company.
Mm.
This is a little off-brand. Basically, I mean, it's the same thing as the Pokemon Go Plus. You know what it is? It's like, it's as if you took your Pokemon Go Plus and rubber banded a nickel to the front of it to keep the button pressed down all the time.
Oh.
So as soon as something was within range, it'll automatically collect it. It takes the fun. I mean, it takes the game out of the game, really.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That part, anyway. So, sure.
So this is for times when, if I'm out and about, bike riding, even driving the car, I don't want to have the thing constantly buzzing on my wrist and feeling like I've got to hit that button.
Do you feel like it's? Are they gonna? I mean. Are you worried that they could crack down on that? Like suddenly it just stopped working because Niantic's like, all right, we know how to detect these little third-party bans now. And
I'm not worried about it stopping working. I'm more worried about them banning my account.
Oh.
Now, here's the cool thing is that they – this looks just like a Pokemon Go Plus when you look at it in the game. And it operates as if I'm just hitting the button as soon as something comes up.
All right.
So – code-wise, there should be no way for them to be able to tell what's what.
All right. So there's probably... I wonder if they... Because it could come down to nanoseconds, right? I wonder if they can detect how quickly it grabs a Pokemon or not.
Exactly. If they start to see a pattern of like, okay, well, this person... It's like they're hitting the button the second that the light... Or, the instant that the light appears on it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's no way for them to know for sure that I'm just not that great, awesome with my cat-like reflexes.
That's true. They'd have to have some other way to feel that out. I think you're probably going to be fine. What this reminds me, though, is like it's some of those weird hacker World of Warcraft tools people used to use to farm, and like they would, you'd basically have a bot out doing actions. Because what this thing is doing, it's not only saying, oh, there's a Pokemon. It has to virtually roll a ball at it, hit it in the head, and suck it in. And if it misses the first time, do it again, right? So the machine is doing all that business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So big thanks, by the way, to Lex, who picked this up for me because he was worried about me on the bike, taking my right hand off the handlebar to reach over and hit the button buzzing on my left hand.
Mm.
And that's probably the only time I'm going to use it is when I'm out and about. Cool things about it, though, I mean, it's, you know, it's got better feedback than the Pokemon Go Plus as far as, like,
the buzz, the tell your hand.
There's an actual screen on it, and it lights up and tells you, there's something in range. I'm getting it. Oh, I missed it. Or, I've got it. And you can set it up in so many different ways to say, only do Pokestops. Don't do Pokemon. Don't auto catch. Don't auto catch new Pokemon. Just let me know when there's one within range. So when the new Gen 3s come out, maybe sometime this summer, I don't want it to automatically catch them. I want to know. I want to be able to see these things and try and catch them myself. So
sure. No, yeah, I get it. Having it as especially on your bike, I think is smart. I also like that Lex Luthor is doing such nice things for people these days.
You know, he's so nice.
I'm going to give you a wristband, super fool. He says to himself.
Yo, boobs.
You boobs. I guess that's Skeletor, but it still works.
Right.
Anyway, that's great. Look at Brian. Still an innovator on the edge of the razor, man, out there on the Pokemon Go world.
Listen, there's still 6 million people playing the game. It's as a game developer, I would kill for numbers like that.
Yeah, that's on par with like World of Warcraft numbers. That's really big.
Exactly. It's just not the 60 or 600 million that were playing it during those first weeks in July.
Yeah, that was nuts. Do you think is there any way they get back to that? There's no way, right? It's just the law of diminishing returns.
I think it's the law of diminishing returns. They're back to doing events regularly. Like there's currently an adventure week going on right now where rock type Pokemon are more frequent. They're adding, you know, they've added new Pokemon to the game. So all the Gen 2 stuff just came out a couple months ago. And like I said, Gen 3 hopefully coming this summer. So they're keeping it fresh. Oh, there's also some changes supposed to be coming. Mm. You know, the code divers have figured out that there might be changes coming to the way gyms are handled.
Yeah.
There might be raids.
Oh,
which will be interesting.
Okay.
So
raids like a big nasty Pokemon that like 10 people have to take down together?
Like, exactly. Like a legendary.
Wow.
That a bunch of people have to work together to take down.
throw all your balls at once.
Exactly.
I guess that would be more. The goal.
That's probably how it would work, right?
Well, the dream was always like, let me take out my best Pokemon and fight with it. And like, kind of like what it does at the gym, except it kind of does it on its own. Would that be maybe a thing they're going to add? Because that'd be cool.
Totally. All right. Like, I'm ideal world. An Articuno appears in the middle of, you know, the town square or something, and there's like a 2-hour timer on it, and basically everybody pulls out their top six Pokemon, kind of like they do at a gym, and just goes, you know, boom, 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 and fires with their best Pokemon at it to kind of whittle it down, kind of like a World of Warcraft raid, right? Where world boss kind of thing, and then everybody who fought it. catches it.
Fits it.
Fits it.
All right. This sounds like a cool thing. I think that game could use...
At least if I was making the game, that's how I would do it, and that would probably bring some people back.
Well, once again, if you want to be the very best, go get one of these. And do you get these bands just anywhere? Can you buy them on like Etsy or something, or what's the deal?
You buy them on Amazon.
Okay.
The Pokemon gotcha.
I bet those guys... I bet Niantic's just scratching their head going, how can we stop these...
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's that's why I'm really hesitant about it, because right now I have a complete North American Pokedex for Gen 1. I've got every Pokemon that was available to North America from Gen 1.
Man, you make me and your mother proud, dude.
And what does it get me? I'm putting that on my resume.
I'm kidding.
You know, there's people who collect, you know, World of Warcraft people collect transmog appearances and pets and things like that. This is no different.
It's
just a fun thing to collect.
Completely agree. This is if you're into it, it's digital collection is a thing. It's what people do.
Exactly.
We're
into
it.
Yes, I don't need any storage in my house for all of these effing Pokemon.
Oh, good point. All that shelf. Just think of the shelf space that you don't need now. Except you wouldn't. You probably wouldn't mind owning all of those in the amiibo style, would you? You probably would like that.
Oh, I kind of well.
Oh no, what have I done? What have I asked for? Oh my lord. Oh my gosh, dude. Wait a minute, where are all those from?
These are little plastic toys, little plastic Pokemon that
Man.
So I got that cool drawing over the weekend, right? We talked about it yesterday from
the Blue Tux deal.
Rayu, I believe it's how she pronounces her name.
Yeah.
A while back at a garage sale, my mom picked up a really cool old style, those lead letters that they used to use for typesetting.
Oh,
they had
sure.
Like a, it came in a cool wooden box that had all the different sizes for,
back in the day.
F is wider and I is little and thin and that sort of thing. And so I've been wanting something kind of cool to put in those. And I picked up a whole bunch of Japanese figures when I was out there, and they're too big. I needed something smaller. And somebody on Pokemon Go podcast suggested that I pick up there's it's for $14. You get 144 of these little Pokemon.
And is it random? We just get whatever?
Out of 144, I got no duplicates. Now, I did get, there are multiple Pikachus, but they're all Pikachus in different poses.
Oh, okay. All right. But and these aren't weird, like, they're not like little anatomically correct little Pokemon or some weird shit like that, right?
Like little Pikachu wieners.
Yeah, like little wieners and stuff. Because sometimes I've bought things off of weird, sketchy Japanese websites and gotten like some porny version of like Hello Kitty or something by accident.
Sure. No, these have no... These have no wieners. There's some places where there's some plastic flashing that, you know, you just got to kind of scrape off with an X-Acto knife.
Sure, right. But those are usually just their injection molding, sure. So, wait, that's $14 for that box?
$14 for that entire box. 144 of those little dudes. And
I weirdly want to do that. I don't know why I feel like
doing that.
It's kind
of cool. And these are going to look really cool. Here's a little Graveler.
Hell yeah. Yeah, look at him.
They're not high detail. They're, you know, not more than like three or four colors on each one.
Yeah.
But they're still really cool, and they're going to fit perfectly in that box and make a really cool little piece to put on the wall.
There you go. We are grown men, everybody, and we love this stuff.
Right. Oh, here's a Gengar.
Oh, super cool. Look at Gengar. Yeah, he'll give you some trouble if you fight him. You know.
That's right. He took my hat in that drawing that I showed everybody yesterday.
Damn straight he did.
Well, and got a package on its way to you with stuff for the Nerdtacular swag bags that also has a gift for you. So,
ooh, a gift for me, you say?
Yeah.
All right, I'm really excited. Hey, I want to thank Jerry. Do you want to know why? Check this out.
Tell us why. Tell us why to thank Jerry.
Look at my video. So I'm wearing a shirt. See that where it says speck of dust on there?
I thought Jerry donated tickets.
Sorry, not Jerry. Dave. Sorry, Dave. Dave sent me and Carter these speck of dust shirts, and you're thinking, well, what's that, Scott? What kind of weird thing is that? What are you talking about, speck
what
of dust?
What kind of weird thing is that?
And why is this in, like, you know, pixelated font and all that? Well, Carter and I have been doing a playthrough on Story Mode Saturdays and now Story Mode Mondays because we had to move the day because our day off's different now. We are doing we're a playthrough of Thimbleweed Park. It's like a old school-ish, brand new, but kind of a throwback to the old adventure games like Secret of Monkey Island and...
Oh, cool. Yeah, you know, love those.
That kind of stuff. In fact, it's Ron Gilbert himself who did a lot of those games.
Oh, wow.
Made this game. And it's like this X-Files meets Twin Peaks meets... I don't know what to compare it to. It's really funny, really goofy, and strange. And we've been playing it for 10 hours already. We do about an hour and a half per episode. Every week, we just play a chunk. And one of the things you do in this game, speaking of collecting, Brian, I wish I had a wrist thing for this.
Yeah.
In the game, there's an achievement or a goal for all the characters to pick up these little specks of dust. They're literally a pixel. And they're scattered throughout the game. And when you see one, you pick it up and collect them. And if you get all of them, it's just some achievement. But... every time we see a speck of dust, Carter and I will yell, "Speck of dust!" and interrupt whatever we're doing and run over and pick up the speck of dust. Nice. And he liked that so much that Dave made shirts for me and her that said speck of dust and sent them to us. And so last night while we were streaming the game, we had jackets on, all zipped up. Nobody knew the wiser. And we found our first speck of dust and we yelled, "Speck of dust!" And we tore our jackets off and underneath were speck of dust shirts! This is the best thing ever.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
So thanks, Dave. Dave sent a letter. It's only got his last name or his first name. I don't know Dave who or anything. I just know it's Dave. So thank you, Dave. That was awesome. And also big thanks to Jerry. And this is the real Jerry now, who have been... Jerry and many others. Not just Jerry, but Jerry and multitude of others who, for one reason or another, this always happens at Nerdtacular. Something comes up, a wedding, or they've got a... things get tight financially, can't travel, whatever it is. and they can't come, and they're like, you know what, I don't want a refund on that ticket. I want to give it to a happy person who can now go to Nerdtacular in my stead.
That's so generous. It's huge.
That's really nice. And I want Jerry and all those guys, to others who've sent those in, to know we have found or will find happy homes for every single one of them. So thank you for that.
We can't say the same thing for rooms at the Clip Clop.
No.
Those are pretty sold out.
They're pretty gone. I'm talking pretty to gone. Some people who have waited so long that now they ended up having to get something down to the base of the canyon in a hotel there and make their way up. But it's fine. It's like, 8-minute drive. Nobody.
Yeah, knows. Tristan got we waited too long to get Tristan in, so he's staying in at the inn.
Oh, the one over the yeah.
Back. Just down the hill by the pizza place.
Yep.
And he's apparently in a studio room that's got like a fridge and kitchen and everything, but doesn't have a bed except for something like a what do they call those? A Murphy bed that comes out of the wall.
Yeah, you pull it in out of the wall. Yeah, the Murphy beds. Yeah,
Murphy bed. Step away from the bed.
Please get out of the bed. It's been tricky. There's a few people I know of who are all like three people packed into a single room just because they waited too long. So yeah, it's a little nuts this year, but it's all good. Anyway, thanks to Jerry and all those other people. And then finally, I just wanted to express a little saditude here. Yeah. Roger Moore passed away at age 89. Yeah. Apparently a brief, but ultimately, fatal form of cancer. Don't know too many other details other than that. But passed away, man. He was the James Bond of my youth.
Yeah.
You know, when I was watching James Bond, here's how it went. And Tom shared something similar on Twitter, but this happened to me as well. The only movies I saw when I was really young and associated with James Bond was Roger Moore movies. It was The Spy Who Loved Me. It was that Never Say Never one. Oh, wait, Never Say Never?
Never Say Never Again was the Sean Connery one they brought him back for. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not that one. What's the one with Roger Moore where everyone's got afros and stuff?
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
Yeah, Live and Let Die.
Yeah, that Live and Let Die. The other one with the skiing at the first part and where they threw Dr. Evil down a smokestack.
Spy Who Loved Me.
Spy Who Loved Me. Oh, Spy Who Loved Me, my favorite, I think.
Well, Down the Smokestack was different. So let's see. That was a different opening. So they had the skiing one was Spy Who Loved Me. Mm-hmm. You had Moonraker. And I think For Your Eyes Only is the one that begins with him dropping Blofeld into a smokestack at the beginning.
Did his cat go with him? Was his cat with him? I can't remember.
His cat was on his lap. Oh, no. Cat ran off as soon as he hooked him on the helicopter.
Right.
The little leg thing of the helicopter.
That's what cats do. They need to get the H out, man.
Exactly. It's like, done, done.
They don't care. That's what'll happen at your house, Brian. Your cat loves you right now, but I'm telling you, when worse comes to worse, she'll take off.
That's right. She's sitting there right now just looking at the world.
Chilling.
Hi.
Chilling.
Hello, kitty.
And I like your shaken, not stirred sign back there. Very nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, sad day. And I would like to just say my whole point with that was because he was the James Bond I grew up with, then suddenly somebody would show me like a Sean Connery movie and I'd go, who the hell is that? That's not James Bond.
Right, yeah.
So that's how much it was part of my childhood. And there's some bad ones in there. Moonraker's pretty terrible.
Sure.
Live and Let Die's kind of bad. It's okay.
View to a Kill has its moments. You know, hey, Christopher Walken's great. Grace Jones is great, but it's, it's got its moments of cheese, cheesitude.
Octopussy's a little rough. Yeah,
that's right.
A little rough. But you're the biggest. You're of all my friends, you're the biggest James Bond, Ian Fleming fan I know. So this must have been a little bit of a rough bit of news.
It was. Yeah, it's funny because I would have expected Sean Connery to pass away sooner. I think Lazenby's dead, isn't he?
I think he haunts
died
me.
Years ago.
Yeah, let's see. Lazenby.
Australian Bond. He's Australian for Bond. No, he's still alive.
Oh, is he? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well done there, George Lazenby.
So Moore is our first.
Oh, he's younger. He's
Bond
only 70.
Pass away.
Yeah, and he's only 77. This Lazenby fella.
Right.
Oh, I thought he was older. That's crazy. So first Bond.
86 for Sean Connery. So was Roger Moore was the oldest Bond.
Yeah, and the first to go.
Yeah.
All right. I don't like predicting who's next, but I feel.
Oh, no.
I feel like Sean Connery. I hate being reminded that Sean Connery's getting there. You know, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's an iconic dude I don't ever want to see.
I know. Well, so many, beyond James Bond. I mean, so many other things that we know him for. He's the man now, dog.
That's right. Also, just to throw a little more love at Roger Moore.
The Rock, Untouchables.
He did some amazing stuff outside of Bond that you never think about. Like,
sure.
I'll tell you what made that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was good in that.
He was a bad guy. He chased after the Spice Girls even more than I do in the Spice World movie.
That's right. He was great and made it watchable.
He was the Blofeld. Right. He was the Blofeld of the Spice Girls movie. Always had an animal on his lap. Mm-hmm. Like, at one point it was a pot-bellied pig. Another point it was a guinea pig. You know, it was like...
I assume that was all on purpose, right? They were trying to make a reference there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Spice World. And then... That movie.
Wait until we have to watch that for Film Sec, because mark my words, Scott, we will watch that for Film Sec.
Will we? Okay. I'll do it.
We will watch that.
I'll do it for you. That's fine. But the thing that made it, he made that Van Damme movie watchable. What was that called? The Golden Bum or the Chicken Bum? The Golden Tree? Trees of Gold? Funky,
I don't know which
golden,
one you're talking about.
We watched it for Film Sec. It was a Van Damme movie, and he was like a karate
Quest.
Man. Oh, the quest.
chicken yellow tree bum.
Yeah, the chicken yellow tree bum. Yeah, the otherwise known as the Quest. He made the Quest watchable, I thought.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's great in it. He's really genuinely, the best thing in it. So anyway.
You know who else is in that?
What? Who?
James Remar.
Oh, right. He's in everything, though.
He's in everything.
His job is to be in all things. Who knew that James Remar would be the guy that is, you know, he's basically...
He's kind of the official Film Sack mascot at this point, I think.
Yeah, who else would come close?
Yeah.
Maybe.
We can't. Most Sacked isn't up in its new home yet, right?
Not yet, no. In fact, okay. Well, you know what? I haven't checked. Let's see. MostSacked.com is still on the holder page, so he's working
on
it.
Okay, all right. That's all right.
It's fine.
It's
we'll wait.
It's a nice little pretty picture of an aloe vera plant.
Yeah. That's what you want. It's fine. Anyway, so rest in peace. And also to anybody affected by that hideous attack in London, we feel real bad about that. Yeah. That's awful. And
our hearts go out to the families of those affected by the Manchester tragedy.
I had to block somebody today because on Twitter because they said this joke that was horrible about that event.
Oh, God.
I have zero tolerance for people that are that cruel. So F off and auto block and goodbye, whoever you are. I think he's a listener to this show. So if he's hearing me now, you got what you deserved. You shouldn't be listening to us anyway. It's not the kind of show we are. Go away. Yeah. All right. Brian?
Yes, sir.
I'm thinking maybe a little bit of news, maybe. Looky here, it's the news brought to you by...
Hi, guys. I just wanted to break in here real quick, said somebody. Most families never expect to face a disease like Hunter syndrome. They never expect to be in a battle between life and death for their child. What is Hunter syndrome? Hunter syndrome, MPS2, is a rare genetic disease that affects less than 500 boys in the United States. These boys are missing an enzyme used to break down cellular waste. When that waste builds up, it leads to progressive damage throughout their little bodies. This damage can lead to the loss of walking, talking, and eating. It is fatal, and most do not live to see their teen years. There's good news, though. Doctors believe they have a cure, and you can help. Visit projectalive.org to learn more and donate today.
A good cause. Go check that out. And also, what's his name can come back in the room now. What's his name?
Pedersen.
Pedersen.
Bob,
hey,
Pedersen.
Bob, you can come back.
Oh, what was the latest thing that he... our pronunciation of Iran and Iraq.
Oh, yeah. He loves that when we do that.
Yes.
Iraq...
Iran. So far away.
And to Iran.
We love you, Bob.
Yeah, he's great. We do. Know. If he was here, I'd hug him so hard he'd toot. All right.
That might have to be a future card, by the way. Close your ears, Pedersen.
Yeah.
And have like a grumpy guy on the face of the card.
Oh, yeah. Why haven't I done Pedersen yet?
Yeah.
Oh, we should. Okay, that's next month for sure.
That's next month.
Totally will. Justice League has a new director, but for very sad reasons. Hey, Bob, you may want to leave again, buddy. You may want to go out because this is a little rough too. Zack Snyder. Oh, yeah. By the way, some other really rude people about Zack Snyder online. It's like, guys, they are not here to just service us and our nerd needs. Sometimes people have life problems and you want to just give them the space. Anyway, filmmaker's daughter, Zack Snyder's daughter, died in March. Nobody had heard about it. They kept it pretty private, but she had died. Wow. Via suicide, prompting him to take a break from work and hire Joss Whedon to finish the Warner Brothers superhero pick. Says, I've decided to step back from the movie to be with my family, to be with my kids who really need me. Snyder's daughter, Autumn Snyder, died by suicide March at the age of 20. That's too young. Jeez. Yeah. Carter just turned 20. Like, that's... Oof, yeah, that hits where it hurts.
Well, and it's just so...
Her death has been kept private. Only a small inner circle of people knew what happened. Even the movie was put on a two-week break for the Snyders to deal with the immediate effects of the tragedy. He says he was initially eager to return to the film, which stars Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, and Ezra Miller. Who's that?
Ezra. Ezra Miller's the Flash.
Oh, he's the Flash kid. Right.
Nobody's better than Ezra at being the Flash.
Right, he's the new Flash. He says, in my mind, I thought it was going to be cathartic to go back to work, just to bury myself in it and see my way through it, says the emotional Snyder in an interview Monday with Deborah sitting by his side. That's his wife. The demands of this job are pretty intense. It's all consuming. And in the last 2 months, I've come to the realization I've decided to step back from the movie and be with my family, be with my kids. They are all having a hard time. I'm having a hard time. So yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. I can't imagine the pressure of what it means to be the Justice League director. Say what you want about Zack Snyder's films or his style or whatever.
Sure.
Like, take that out of the picture for me, because this goes to the bone,
it's
man.
So it's so separate. It's such a separate thing and needs to be,
right,
treated much more compassionately. You know, I mean, you can't. You can't bundle the two together and say, well, good, I'm glad it's going to be Joss Whedon now.
Yeah, and some people are doing that. Like, oh, finally, he's going to come save it. Okay, let me get on their level for a second and say this.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. But you did see Ultron, didn't you? That wasn't very good. We all like Avengers. We all like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We all like, Firefly. We get it. Sure. We love Joss Whedon. But put your nerd cred on hold for a minute and just realize that, A, this is a terrible tragedy, and B, I don't know. Joss Whedon may come in and ruin it for all I know. I don't know what he's going to do.
Right. Who knows? And really, it's even hard to say, which director's better, which director's worse, when you've got this kind of cloud of this whole thing over it. It's like, okay, new director, good. Hope everything's going okay for Zack Snyder during this time.
Yeah.
That's what the tweets and the Facebook comments and the stuff should be about. I'm actually amazed that he continued for 2 months to work on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that there would be anything else going on in my life if something like that were to happen, that I would say, okay, well, I'm going to go back to work and.
Oh yeah. Shut it all down. Listen, if this happened to me, you'd not be hearing me podcast very much since then. I might eventually get back around to it, but ooh, ooh.
Right.
Anyway, so that's a thing. Bob, you can come back. Everything's good. A woman has been charged for macing a fast food employee over stale French fries.
Good.
Yeah. She
warranted.
Yeah. Totally justified. Employees at the fast food chain restaurant Coon Rapids in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. It's not called Coon Rapids. Says a woman sprayed them with mace during a dispute over French fries. According to the criminal complaint, police went to a, you guessed it, Wendy's Thursday afternoon after receiving a call about a disturbance. This is according to CBS Minneapolis. When police arrived, employees told them 25-year-old Irem Chanel Amir Dixon.
Sure.
Do we have to have all four names?
Irem Chanel
Amir Dixon.
Irem Chanel. Channel number 5. Irem Chanel.
When I was young, I always thought it was channel number 5. I really did.
Did you? I love it.
And I used to say, oh, that's when that's MASH reruns are on channel 5 at 10 o'clock. That's great.
I used to call the hotel chain Ramada Inn.
Ramada? Oh, awesome. Ramada. Yeah. I think you've told me that, but I love that. I freaking love that.
And Yosemite.
Oh, Yosemite's
Yosemite,
the best.
But I called it Yosemite.
Yeah. It reminds me of my buddy Drew when he talks about I can't even think of his real name in the Metal Gear games. Who's the guy with the gun? He's like an old cowboy with a hat. Anyway, he calls him Six Shooter Yosemite for.
Nice.
I think I've talked about it before, but I can't remember his real name. Anyway, chat room will tell us. She goes through this drive, or he goes through this drive through. He's 25 years old. Ordered food. Asked that. Oh, it's a her. I'm sorry. I take this all back.
Okay.
Asked that her French fries be fresh.
Well, no, that's the woman who maced.
Yeah, she's the macer. Yeah, I had it in my head it was a dude for some reason.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know.
Well, the first word you read was woman charged for macing fast food employees.
No, you're totally right. It's all in my own head. You know what it is? It's another story that I almost used today that was about a dude with an also weird name, and I think that's why I'm mixing them up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, she really wanted these French fries to be fresh, which, by the way, if you're going to Wendy's, don't ask for fresh French fries. They don't exist at Wendy's. I mean, sorry, Wendy's, but your fries are never fresh. They're always a little soggy and bready.
With a little old-fashioned.
They're not great. You know who has good fries? Shockingly good fries? I'm going to lay it out here.
All right.
The other day we went to Del Taco.
What?
I know. And I don't know if it was just
wetting the Del Taco. Well, I'm kind of wetting the Del Taco, but I'm more wetting the fries.
Yeah. Now, I would have worried about that too. And I got a combo and with it came fries, which is weird. I don't know why they do fries there, but
yeah.
But whatever. I usually don't do that, but I got it this time. And I may have been an outlier. It may have been a one-off or something, but those fries were great. Crispy, golden brown, perfect, not oily, just the best French fries I've had in months at a Del frickin' Taco.
Wendy's recently changed their fries to have more of a, they're thinner and they're cut so that you actually get potato skin on the ends of some of them. Mm. I do miss their thicker steak fries, though. They were kind of like Red Robin's fries, who I say best fries you can get are Red Robin fries.
But aren't they the kind of fries, if they're not cooked just right, you're screwed. Like, they're just the worst.
You get the kind of graininess in the middle. Yeah. But you just send them back. You're like, oh, nope. Can I get more fries? It's unlimited anyway, so.
Yeah. They'll never spit on those. You'll be fine.
Which is a good thing they're unlimited. Because they're steak fries, you order your burger and get a side of fries, and you get, like, six fries because they're the big steak fries.
That's true. No, that's like half a potato right there or more.
Yeah.
Well, when police arrived. Here it is. During the ensuing argument, the employee said Dixon reached through the window. An employee then threw a soda at her.
Yeah, that makes me laugh. Good.
Yeah, that's defense, right?
Yeah, you don't reach into the window.
Yeah, I'm going to call it a counter move. I think that's a good counter move. Dixon then grabbed mace from her car and sprayed it. I'm glad it wasn't.
He said, we're going to use the balance of the force against you.
How do we get these mother effing Sith in here?
Get these mother effing fries out of my mother effing plane.
She then maced them, didn't use an actual mace, nor was it Mace Windu, but an actual like can of mace. An employee then threw a soda at her at that point. Let's see. According to employees, the manager of the restaurant was hit directly in the face and another employee was also hit. Jeez. Dixon faces one charge of use of tear gas to immobilize.
Wow, Dixon. Yeah. Chanel.
That is a hardcore charge.
It is.
You being charged. Does the defendant plead guilty to being immobilizing somebody with tear gas?
They really bury the argument, though, right? Because basically it goes from she asked that her French fries be fresh.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. During an ensuing argument, the employee said, like, where there had to be more to the argument.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
No, you're going to get what you get or something like that.
Yeah. I don't buy that. That was as simple as exactly.
Maybe a slur was thrown about.
Yep. Somebody could have been a jerk. Somebody could have said something threatening. Somebody could have said.
They really skipped some of the middle stuff of that article.
As do many of the articles we read.
Yeah.
Sadly.
It's true.
Brian, how do you feel about the Earth being flat? Have you heard the news?
I'm a fan of the flat Earth.
You like the flat Earth theory?
I like the flat Earth. It's my favorite Thomas Dolby album.
Well, good. I got some good news for you then, because D Marble, I guess he's a rapper.
D Marble.
D Marble's like a rapper.
He's my favorite club DJ.
Isn't he a rapper or something? I think he's a rapper.
Oh, is he really?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I was making a joke. I was thinking that was.
He might be an actual DJ, is what I'm saying, I think.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, then that's kind of funny.
But I don't know him. It says this. D. Marble said that scientists... It's a terrible name.
It's an ironic name.
Yeah, it is.
The fact that your name is Marble.
Yeah, it's the most...
You're saying that the Earth, a sphere, is flat.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, it says that scientists have produced facts and figures in the past to prove that the Earth is round, but not much evidence has been produced recently, he says. So he armed himself with the spirit level for his flight from North Carolina to Seattle. Do you know what a spirit level is?
It's one of those levels that has the little cylinder with the bubble in it.
Yep.
And a couple of lines on it.
Yep. And he got on this plane and he took a flight. This is so dumb. Here's what he said. Comments on his video, Flat Earth Spirit Level Flight Experiment, are disabled, so there's nobody talking there. Writing on YouTube, he said he wanted to monitor whether or not the pilot would dip the nose of the plane to compensate for curvature. He said, I recorded 23 minutes and 45 second time lapse, which by those measurements meant the plane traveled at a little over 203 miles. According to the curvature math given to explain the globe model, this should have resulted in the compensation of 5 miles of curvature. As you'll see, there was no measurable compensation for curvature because he took one of those things with him.
Right. Okay. I love that. So, you know what? Got to give him points for at least having a theory that this would work. Right?
It scares the hell out of me, this kind of people. These kind of people scare me to death.
But who was the guy who argued with Neil deGrasse Tyson about it a couple of years ago, a year or so ago, where he said, no, when I get in the top, like on the top of a tall building and I look, the horizon is flat. It's not round.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I
mean, now, this guy is at least saying, well, the way I'm thinking is that as long as I've got a level pointed towards the front of the plane, yeah, when the pilot dips the plane to go around the earth, it's going to send the bubble into one side, not thinking that it's kind of gravity, kind of emanates from the center of the earth. And so therefore a plane is always going to kind of be parallel until it starts diving to land. A plane is always going to be flying parallel to that center.
Oh, it's another rapper who told Neil deGrasse Tyson that.
Yeah. Who was it? It was Bob.
B.O.B. Bob.
B.O.B.
The
irony is Bob has a song called Airplanes.
And they all play with marbles. Anyways, so he says the bubble does not stay centered due to gravity. Understanding the gravity is still a theory. Consider how gravity supposedly comes about. A molten metal core, which somehow becomes magnetized. There's a lot of which somehow becomes and sort of kind of like the wording here is terrible. Anyway, if that's the case, the metal foundries should be magnetized. Shouldn't they not? Also, how does magnetism affect an air bubble out inside a gas cylinder containing a liquid more saline than water? Prove it, you can't!
That's right. Understand that gravity is still a theory. I'm hung up on that sentence.
I don't know what's going on. How are there people in 20... seriously, I mean this question as seriously and honestly as I can possibly ask it.
Do rappers have brains? Because seriously... I wanted to know.
How are there anybody... How does anybody exist in 2017... that literally believes the earth is flat and goes to the trouble of experimenting to try to prove it? Seriously. Like, I don't get it. This is you're part of the problem, is what I'm trying to say. I don't understand it. Someone wants to answer it. If someone in our chat room is a big flat earther, I'll even take your freaking call. We'll talk about it because I want to know where you're coming from, man. Like, you're smoking the crack. All
right. Right. Moving on. And you know, Aurelian does correct us. So gravity is a theory, but it is a reality. Theory does not equate guess. So good point. I was confusing theory and hypothesis.
Yeah. Well, hypotenuse. That's what I was thinking.
The square of two wrappers is larger than the sum of...
But it's flat on all four sides. There you go. I mean, I remember when we were kids. I mean, when you're a kid, you walk out and you can kind of... Your imagination might go, oh, well, what I see looks flat, so it must be flat.
Right.
But you don't understand mass and size and distance and all those things that affect it. So you're a kid. You're expected to have dumb theories. That's fine. You're supposed to. Right. You're not a real kid if you don't. So I get it. But when you're an adult and you've had time, maybe you're just not, I don't know, did you just sleep in class? Do you think it's all one big conspiracy? Like, this sort of stuff boggles me. People that say that Sandy Hook was a bunch of actors and it was a big, you know, fake show, not a bunch of kids getting killed. Like that kind of stuff, the InfoWars stuff.
The moon landing was staged.
This isn't even a political thing for me at all. I don't know why it would be for anybody else either, but it's not about politics. It's about just straight up irrational. I don't get it. I know we've talked to Wendy about conspiracies before. I understand that there's, you know, we've even discussed the science of it, but I still... just thwarts my brain. I can't understand how people.
Oh, it's crazy. It really is crazy. Do you think the folks in Westeros say, no, I believe Westeros is flat, and not say, I believe we live on the inside of a circular, inside of a spherical thing with a logo and the sun floating in the middle of it?
Exactly. I mean, I know, you know, like old theories used to be ones that would you kind of had some common sense about, like,
right,
the world, everything revolves around the world, must be. Well, no, sure. It turns out it doesn't. We're just one of the objects that, you know, that revolves around other things. And those things revolve around greater masses, and everything's sort of revolving around lots of things. It's much more complicated than the Earth is the best. We are the only people.
Right? Oh, so does D. Marble think, when he looks up and sees the moon or the sun, does he think that those are basically coin shaped?
Yeah, he thinks they're pogs. Thinks they're pogs up there.
It's the moon pog.
Moon pog. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Has anyone asked a flat earther how can they explain that big body in the sky that they think is, do they think that is also flat? And if right. they do, why are we spherical then? Are you saying the Earth right. is
why
spherical?
Why are we the only thing that would be flat in this world, in this universe of spherical objects?
All we need to do is get to a place where SpaceX can put a guy in the back of a thing cheaply, fly him from, you know, Manhattan straight up to outside the Earth so you can just see it from there and go, oh, it is a giant ball. Okay, I'm good.
Right.
This kind of stuff rubs me right up the wrong tree, man.
You know, if you could get a free flight up to the atmosphere to see the curvature of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Just by acting ignorant on YouTube or whatever, would you do it? Just to, like, get that free trip into space?
Maybe. If that's what they were going to give you and if it was free, maybe go crazy for that.
Yeah.
But I understand, and the chat room's making this point, and I totally agree with it. Our perspective in early human development was what our perspective was. Like, if my dog runs into the house, it doesn't know that it's looking at a table. It's never seen the top of it. It doesn't know what that is.
Sure.
So I get it. But we've seen the top of the table now. We know better. We've gotten out there. We know. And we knew a lot long time before we flew there. But I'm saying we have definitive proof. It's not like it's a, it depends on your point of view. No, it doesn't depend on your point of view, you jackhole. You either know it or you freaking don't. You either accept it or you don't. Oh, this kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. So there's a whole website that J.C. Calhoun sent us called aplaintruth.info.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I got to look at this. I got to look at it.
Yep. And plain, P-L-A-N-E, for those folks who are listening to this. But basically, it's a well-designed, just barely better than GeoCities website.
I can't find this. What is it? Aplaintruth.com?
Aplaintruth.info.
Oh, plain truth.
That's right.
Info.
Moon hoax images.
Oh, look at this. Flat Earth. New Flat Earth books. Alternative media. Black Earth. Okay, here we go. Oh, let's hear a little. We got some audio here.
Oh, good.
Okay. Show, and has run this show for such a long time, we have to wake up to how long we've been numb and mind programmed with these professionals that have had all access to all technology about how to manipulate us. You Google brain map and you see Obama just authorized another $8.5 billion for brain mapping. Well, what are they studying? Between the ears, behind the eyes.
Wow. All right. How about this one?
Like, he brings it back to Obama. Obama made the earth round.
Everyone always does. Okay. Here's one. Let's see. This is called. Okay.
Oh, wow.
What? Clouds behind my local sun. Okay, that's supposed to be video of clouds behind this dude's sun. His local sun.
His local sun, okay.
No, sorry, buddy. It's not cloud. Okay, so that's how they think it's flat? Because you're looking directly into the sun and you can't see the thin clouds in front of it because it's the sun?
Right.
Oh my gosh, we need to hear if anyone out there is into this. You got to call in or write in or something. Okay. Oh, there's all kinds of good stuff on here. Oh, right. You know, we could have some fun with this stuff.
A photo from the moon where they're showing the reflection in one of the astronauts' helmets saying, "This picture is the best, though. Look in his helmet. And if you didn't see two astronauts in the last photo, you will now. There's the two men you see in the helmet plus the one being photographed. That equals three men on the moon at once. Also, note other secondary light coming from upper left. Also, note the standard issue Hasselblad camera chest mounted. If they got such great pics in the heat of the moon, never caused it to malfunction."
Oh, my gosh, dude. These guys are serious. I assume they're serious. Are you guys serious?
Yeah, they're totally serious.
Okay, let's play this one. I want to hear this lady, if it's a lady.
Street. This is not even to begin to mention a parent's complete and utter loss to decide what is best for their own children. The state has now declared it is they who have the power.
Oh, Lord, I can't do it. I can't even listen to this guy. I don't understand. I don't get it. So someone write in. You tell me why this is the thing you believe. And if you don't, that'll really make me feel good because that means none of your... I don't like to use the word crazy very often. But some of this, if you buy this, you're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And there's going to come a day where you're going to be like, I don't know, on your deathbed going, oh, shit, I was wrong about that. And I wasted a whole lot of time telling people the world was flat. All right, well, I'm out. And you're dead. And that's no good. No way to live. Embrace the truth. Some of these things are just natural facts. And move on. Do some good in the world.
Oh, my God. I'm putting a photo link in the chat room here.
Okay.
This is something they created for this website that shows how you can take the NASA logo and make a pentagram and then turn it into the V space alien thing.
Shut.
I think there's also the United Federation of Planets.
Oh my Lord. Is this logo serious? In there as well. Somebody can, see, I can never tell what's serious or not though. Is someone just goofing around with this?
No, I think this is also from that same site, The Plain Truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at this. I love when people see stuff in logos and aren't there. I love that.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Let's look. You know, we're going to have some fun here. Satanic logos.
Oh, good. Yeah. How many of these can we find?
Okay. So they say the Google one's satanic. Let's see what it says.
Frosted Flakes has Hail Satan in it.
Says Google Chrome logo. Here's the old logo. Here's the new logo. Ah, see, they've taken three sixes and rotated them around so that they're three sixes, so it makes the number of the beast. Oh, that's crazy. Here, chat, you guys can see these. There's just a Google image search. I'll give it to you there.
Okay.
Let's see what else we got here. Burger King.
Walt Disney has a 666 in his signature.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Let's see. The monster logo, supposedly each of those scars from the claw is a six. Vodafone has three sixes in it, it says. Well, they're all Satan ones.
Why do they have Taco Bell in here? What's
that's what I'm trying to understand.
Oh, because there's a six. There's a six in the bottom of the bell, and then a little Satan's eye sticking out of the bell.
That's great. It's like the modern version of Paula's Dead.
It really is.
Yeah. That's what it reminds me of. They're just hearing shit and seeing shit that's not there. What's AOL? Is that another 666? Let's see. Starbucks. Oh, there's too many of these.
So, 33 degrees Freemasonry, is that another satanic reference now? Is that, not now, but like, is that another thing we have to watch out for? Is the 33 degrees?
The Tostitos one.
Oh, hold on. Let me see the Tostitos one.
I think it's just that it says tit. I think that's what it is. All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know what to make of this, except... Oh, they say Coca-Cola backwards is some message, some terrorist message, Islamic terrorism message. Come on.
Oh, jeez.
This is bad. There is so much of this that gives me the willies. Well, that's what gives me the willies. It's not that any of this is accurate or true or remotely anything. It's that there are people who buy this 100%. They scare the crap out of me. They're the people I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Prove it. You can't. Final story here. Moving on from satanic logos. A man was hospitalized after he got shot in the head with an arrow in Arkansas. But here's the thing. He's 41. Raymond Von Holson drove himself from the scene of the accident. They give a place, but how? Oh, 6 miles with an arrow in the head.
Wow.
Yeah,
now that's a real man.
He's a real man. He was later taken to a better hospital where they took better care of him, I guess. But anyway, he used to be an adventurer, but he took an arrow to the head.
This hospital right here won't accept my insurance. The next nearest one is 6 miles away.
I used to be a patient.
I used to afford health care. Then I took an arrow to the knee.
I feel like if you took an arrow to the head, the last thing I would do is get in my car and drive somewhere.
Sure.
Couldn't do it. I don't
the last thing I would do is go through narrow doorways.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, good point. Why was it? We don't. There's no pictures, but I wonder if it was like, you know,
like Steve Martin. Like straight through a perpendicular.
One can hope. One can hope.
Yes.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna spend some time with Bill, see what he's making, and then we'll talk to Jerry. I don't know what we're talking to Jerry about. No idea.
If anyone could make a cool arrow through the head, it would be Bill.
I agree. And if anyone could wear it well, it'd be Jerry. So perfect combination coming right up after
this.
That's
why Tuesdays work so well.
Exactly. But we don't do it without music. So did you bring some?
I did. Guido wrote in and said, hey, guys, some friends of mine are about to release their first full-length album. This was last week. The Big Sway is a power trio from Massachusetts. They're a mixture of funk, blues, psych, and punk rock. Psych.
What is psych? Like psychedelic.
Psychedelic, yeah. Oh,
okay. Got it.
Psych. They just fooled us with the whole blues. No. Unfortunately, I'll not be there to see any of their shows this weekend as I moved across the country a few years ago. I am swayless in Seattle. Can you please play this for me, my friends, and the TMS listeners? Thanks, Guido. Mm. Well, yes, always happy to play Indie in the Middle requests if you get permission from the band themselves. And Guido did that. This is from their brand new album, Ground Up. These guys are awesome. Go check them out at thebigsway.bandcamp.com. You're going to like this. From the new album, Ground Up, here's The Big Sway and Hits with a Headache.
Yeah. Sarah, your father and I appreciate the fact that you take your schoolwork seriously. But, well, couldn't you manage to arrange your time so you could have a little fun, too?
I have a certain amount of homework to do, and I like to get it done on time.
That's great. Listen, you're a real hoot.
Many Bothans died to bring you this information. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. That was trippy and cool.
Yeah.
That last bit made my head hurt a little.
Queens of the Stone Age-esque, if you ask me. A little reminiscent.
You said esque. Hold on, everyone drink.
Oh, shoot. Is that really a thing?
Yep.
I really do it that much.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I don't know. People tell me you do. I don't notice it when you
That's
do it, but now
really
I do.
Funny.
Now every time you do it, I'll notice it. But
I'll totally notice it too now.
Somebody else pointed it out.
Like Bolth and Waint.
Yeah, Bolth and Waint. I get those at the ready anytime you guys need
many,
them.
Many Bolthans died to bring you this Waint.
Indeed. All right. Bill, maybe? Maybe Bill?
Maybe Bill.
Yeah. I like Bill. I like Bill a lot.
So wait, if I'm talking about performers on a stage who danced revealing with revealing clothes but don't maybe take it all off, I can't say burlesque.
You can say, oh, yeah, see? Or you could say...
Burlike?
What's this? I don't have enough Skype credit to add Bill Duran to the call.
No cred. You got no cred,
what
Scott.
What the hell does that mean? All right, hold on. Jury.
Jury.
Wee wee a poo poo. All right, we're going to bring Justin in and do him a little early because Bill appears not to be there. He may be in New York. Now, if he's in New York, am I recording again? I am. If he's in New York, then happy be he and we'll be okay. But if not, he'll come on to the end of this. So here you go.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young stepping in very expertly in place of
That's
Bill,
right.
who we can't find. We don't know where Bill is. Bill's somewhere, but he's not here.
Mustachio.
Yeah, mustachioed Jerry. Jerry, what's going on?
Oh, my God. A little heads up here, guys.
Well,
Jesus Christ. I was in the middle of a Hearthstone game. I was ranked, man.
Was it? You were in a ranked game? You could do like the rest of my co-hosts and just keep playing while we're talking. They all do that.
Not all of them.
Not you. I mean, on like the instance, I can always tell when those chuckleheads are playing Hearthstone or Diablo. It's always the two games.
I will say that I know that there's been a member of a podcast co-host of yours who was fishing in World of Warcraft while they were recording a show with you.
Oh, didn't you?
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't
was
you.
Me.
Oh, all right. Who would be fishing?
Not on video.
Well, you never know. I've had Patrick playing Diablo 3 while talking to me in a camera, so I know that happened once.
Really? Yeah. So he's like looking in the camera, but he's really looking at Diablo and you.
Yeah. Yeah, and he somehow pulled it off pretty well. It was kind of impressive, but there were a few moments where I was like, oh, I can tell he's in some trouble, a little bit of trouble there. It's all right, though.
That's his accent, man.
I may have done some world quests during an episode of the Pokemon Go podcast at some point, too.
I would be. I'd do that in every episode. I'd do that in every episode of the Pokemon podcast if it were me, so it's totally fun. Well, anyway, thank you for doing that. We're not sure where Bill is. He may be still in New York, and if he is, that's great. I'm sure we'll get some great tales next week of what happened, and if not, if he's around later, we'll pull him in after you. But before all that, we got Justin here. It's jury duty. It's a chance to talk to our old pal, our good buddy Justin, who's got so much going on, but is willing to come in here on Tuesdays and tell us about stuff. So you were saying on text earlier that you had some Twitter etiquette things you wanted to talk about. That always is up my alley, so
love it.
Lay it on me.
All right. Let me just ask some questions first before we get into my bold proclamation.
All right.
Sure.
So, Jeer, this chucklehead on Twitter yesterday making inappropriate jokes about the tragedy in Manchester.
Yes, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, he's a games journalist, freelance journalist. They were horrible, the things he said.
Ever heard of him before last night?
No, I'd never heard of him before in my life. In fact,
this guy David Leavitt. Is that right?
Maybe. He does occasional freelance. I know some writers who regularly contribute to Kotaku and other things, and they don't know. They had not heard of him. So he must have done very small stuff in a world where freelance could mean one article one time, in 05. So who knows? Sure. Who knows? Yeah. But I did not know him before this.
For the purpose of this conversation, let's refer to him as asshole.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. That seems appropriate. Sure.
What is your reaction when you see stuff like that?
Okay. So this is really good. This is a good opener because I have a automatic defensive mechanisms go off like crazy. I go to DEFCON 4 when it's any situation where kids were involved. It just gets me at my core. I can't deal with it. I hate it. It upsets me to no end. So when I find out that a bunch of 8 to 12-year-olds were at a concert, that's not all that were there, obviously, but there's a lot of kids with their moms at a concert for a popular singer that they all love and want to go see, and something this senseless happens, and they are injured horribly or lose their lives, it's really, really frustrating for me. So if you say to me, a bunch of guys got in a fight in a bar and by the end of it, two were dead and one was injured, that doesn't incense me the way kids getting hurt does. And that's probably not unusual. I'm sure everybody feels
I was going to say, I don't think that you're really charting out a controversial
opinion. No. But I guess what I'm saying is that...
That controversial pro-kids
stance. right. But what I'm saying is it does color this a little bit.
Somebody who's a gunfighter by trade, if they die, I would feel less pity than if a one-year-old child accidentally fell down and died.
But to me, it was to your point or to your question of... This made me more mad than something. Yeah, well, I mean, they all suck. Like the guy losing control of his car in New York City, or
the event, or the joke.
The joke. Joke upset me real bad. I hated it. I was mad. Couldn't block him fast enough.
Joke upset you, and you did not know who this guy was. So that I presume that to mean that you were not following him on Twitter, which means somebody else retweeted.
Yep.
That guy.
Somebody quoted it. One of the games journalists that I do follow quoted it and said, this guy is apparently a freelancer. I don't know him. Blah, blah, blah. This is terrible. You know, he pointed it out. That's how I found out about it.
Brian, did you see this last night?
I didn't see it last night. I saw it this morning. People were putting it in chat so I could see it. It's horrible. I mean, you know, even if it wasn't kids involved with this, the fact that there were people who died, the fact that there was, you know, a potential terrorist attack. I don't know. Have they confirmed that it was terrorism?
Well, ISIS takes credit.
That's right. It was a
they're taking
suicide
credit.
Bomber.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anything like that, you don't make any jokes about that sort of thing. It's, you know,
Or if you do, you know what? I'm actually going to say a controversial thing. Sure. Go ahead and make those jokes. I don't think you shouldn't you shouldn't have to like shut your mouth about anything. But don't expect everyone to go, well, thank you. I respectfully respect your opinion. I'm glad that you were able to share it. I may have a differing opinion. No, expect everyone to dogpile on you and kick you in the nuts, you dick.
Yeah.
Sure. I think a comedy like that, if we're going to take the 10,000-foot view, controversial comedy is hard and yet most respected. Because the controversial comics in our lives... You know, name them, you know, Don Rickles and, you know, I can't
remember. Who else? Lewis Black tends to,
I think in general, anybody who does incendiary comedy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Louis C.K.
Yes. Good example right there.
Even people that are universally understood to be funny, but tasteless. Mm-hmm. Howard Stern, Anthony Jeselnik. Like people like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We reward them if they can walk these lines in a way that doesn't get them killed.
Yeah.
By public at large.
Sure.
That's part of what controversial comedy is a recognition of, oh my God, you just said that in a room of people or on the open internet and you're not being run out of town on a stick. That's comedy. That's real comedy, right?
Right.
But let's understand that that's a fact. We're not here trying to say, like, this isn't a free speech. This isn't that, right? This is, like, literally just this guy said a dumb thing on Twitter that nobody was aware of until everybody was aware of.
Right.
Right. Because
we wanted to point out that this person is dumb and bad. This is an awful thing to say. And it's so bad that it deserves infamy. At the core, that's what this is. We want to make you famous for being a shitbag.
Well, well, so that may be the end result. Like a somebody who does a horrible crime. Let's take Timothy McVeigh, blows up the federal building in Oklahoma. I just watched a documentary, so it's on my mind. He shoots to infamy, but not because people are going, all right, now how can we make him famous? That's not the intent. And it's not the intent with this Twitter thing. When people see it and get mad, they feel like they need to express that anger. And the way that the mechanism of Twitter is, the way to express that is to quote tweet that and say, I cannot believe somebody would say this. What a freaking hideous thing to say. The net effect is infamy. But I don't think that's anyone's intent. It may be his, but it's not.
That's the punishment. Because then why quote tweet him? Why not just at reply him and say, or at reply him in a tweet and say, hey, look, you can take this step if you want to go find this awful tweet, but I would prefer to not spread its message. It made me, it made me feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we're doing that thing where it's like you eat something and you're like, oh my god, this is awful tasting.
Right. Right. Does this smell bad to you? Does this smell?
Well, that's what I did. I mean, I did. Yeah. Well, I sort of did one past that. I just blocked him outright and decided not to have him in my life. But
that's that is the right method right there. Just
yeah.
That's my point. Yeah. You. Bad tweets. We don't need to make these people famous.
Like hoist them up on a petard and set fire to the.
This is an immature element of our rapidly maturing. When I say that we're in puberty when it comes to the internet, and this is what I mean, that there are things that we thought were interesting because they were novel once, that I think hopefully we should grow out of, and this is one of those things. Where, you know, we are an especially early adopter internet crowd, of which I assume most of us are that are listening to this.
Yeah.
We found it fascinating that now we could control a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That Twitter was where so much of where media was, and we could say, oh, this lady made a horrifying racist joke about getting AIDS in Africa. Let's make her famous for it. And now she's shamed and she's out of a job.
Oh, that lady, right? The reporter that was on the plane when all the crap went down, she didn't know about it until she got off.
She got off the plane and
right.
She was just kind of chilling in Africa.
Right.
Firestorm. Right. Yeah,
that was she had to do one of those like Grandpa Simpson gifts at the airport and just like put her hat down, did a circle and walked right back onto the plane so she could get back to New York.
I love that scene in The Simpsons. Where he goes into the burlesque show and Bart's taking tickets, so he just grabs his hat back and puts his coat back on and leaves. That's a good one. Yeah. Anyway.
But I guess that's... I don't know if that is, A, helpful in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because as far as my Twitter feed was going, there was more talk about this random asshole that nobody had heard about than the fact that there were... kids missing.
Yeah.
And, right. You know, I don't know how many people in my Twitter feed are in or around Manchester, but if there was any help that anybody could have a phone number to call if they found somebody, you know, bleeding and crying, then maybe I could help. I didn't.
Yeah.
I wound up doing a sanctimonious tweet about how you should mute bad tweets, but I didn't do that. And I know a lot of other people were more, like, interested in running this guy into the dirt because he's a dick and he probably deserves it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm.
But more so than these kids, you know, and they're the victim here,
I guess. What we're doing right now is what I'd prefer people did. Obviously I've got a lot of condemnation toward this guy just because F that and he's a douche, but
yeah,
but this is I mean, a but we're like, but we get to talk about this in a way here that we don't get to. Twitter's too short. It's too abrupt. It's too moving on. It's just not, it's not the place for that stuff when it's that serious. But the anger's real. So when I see, when I see somebody flip out, I totally get it, right? It's a weird, not weird, but a human imperative to like get that stuff out of you. So that's where they're doing it. And the mechanism just kind of sucks for it. It's not good for it. And therefore good for you.
By the way, here's what I am for. You want to go at him directly?
Yeah.
Call at reply him. Call him a piece of garbage. Go. He deserves that. That's something where he should be yelled at. You want to at reply whoever he's got listed in his bio? Like, all right, that's a little aggressive, but yeah. Oh, if you are really offended by it, and that's fine. Making that part of your identity to me is something that I think we could probably evolve away from, because that, I don't know what it gets us. Mm. I don't know if my life was better because I had dozens and dozens of people retweeting that horrible shit joke. Mm-hmm.
No, I guarantee your life wasn't better for it. Mm-hmm. Mine's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't like get rid of it quick enough. The problem is other people screenshotted it and posted it, and then I'm like, well, I can't block them. I like them, but I just wish they wouldn't do this. And so now you're in this whole other argument about let's not feed the troll. It's the whole feed the troll thing. Like, let's Occam's razor this thing. The guy's a colossal troll, and we're feeding him. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. By the way, and you want to know what happened? He is just a social media, like, operator. Mm. So what he does is, and this is by his own admission, he looks at trending topics.
And what's trending, right, and then makes dumb jokes about them.
Whether or not he knows anything about them.
Yeah.
And this is... Right. A profession that friends of mine have, or a hobby that friends of mine have, that they'll just look, all of a sudden wrestling will be trending and they'll be making jokes about wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, and, right. and they'll just look and see what the tenor of Twitter is and try to make a joke about where people are at. This was apparently the early going of that tragedy. I mean, who knows what is happening and what isn't happening. He is not very good at comedy. He made a terrible joke. He deserves to suffer the consequences from it, but does it matter that it's from us?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, who would it be from, though? Like, it is, he's not seeing it as Justin or Scott or anybody individually. He's seeing that the internet is really pissed at him today. And
yeah.
Maybe that's good, you know? Maybe that'll...
Stock yeah. and trade. He apparently makes most of his money on sponsored Instagram posts and tweets. So if a lot of people unfollow him or a lot of people tell him he's a garbage person, then that affects his livelihood. I guess mm-hmm. that thing is like, I'm not a religious person, but I do believe that like there is a serenity to understanding that I need to live my best life and I need to let the rest of the world be the rest of the world yeah. at times.
Yeah.
Like there are moments where you can affect the things around you, and that is great. And there is, you know, to borrow religious, you know, iconography, there is salvation in good works, but I don't know what making that dude famous gets us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
But what a bit, okay.
No, it's feeling like you have this need, have to have a need to show how angry you are about something. And it's something that's developed over time. Like we used to say, we get angry about something, we just walk away from it, go do something else. But now, because of social media, we have to tell people how we have to take a picture of our anger as it's sitting there hot, fresh on the plate in front of us, delivered by the waiter, and show people how angry we are about something.
I would argue that we've always done this. We just didn't have this particular convenient mechanism. We just didn't have the medium. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just human nature. I think it's part of human beings. And when we are our better selves, we do know, we take that moment to think about it and we walk away. I don't even know what it was about. The other day I was constructing some really pissed off tweet. I was super irritated about something and I was typing it. And as I got close to the 140 character limit, I looked at it and went, why am I typing this? What am I actually doing? And what will be the result of this? And then I thought of that for a little bit and I thought of it. And I remember somebody once told me, he says, the only real freedom you have in this life is and you could argue this, but he says the only real freedom you have in this life is the freedom to decide how you're going to react to something. And he says that's really it. There's a lot of other things you perceive as freedoms. They're not really necessarily, but that one, even if you're in prison, you still have that one. It can never be taken from you. So I thought of that guy again and went, oh, well, all right, maybe not. And I deleted it. Didn't save it as a draft, just got rid of it. That's hard. I think that's hard because when you're in the emotional moment, it's just freaking hard to not do it.
Totally.
So it's all about, you know, trying to figure out your own, you know, your own path to do to making that decision for yourself. All of that being said, if you flip and look at this at like, I don't know, a Kardashian. Let's look at Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's famous and loaded and blah, blah, blah. Because why? A couple of factors. One that really pushed her out into the forefront. But some of those factors were she was Robert Kardashian's daughter. And he was infamous during the OJ trial. And her mom went on to marry a Jenner guy. And then there's that thing. So that kind of had some infamy to it. But then there was this sex tape. And that thing was like booster fuel. It was like a nitro canister in Vin Diesel's car, man. Just and now she's this rich and famous, married to a famous and also strange rapper who gets a lot of headlines himself. Like her entire life, this isn't a judgment, by the way. Her entire life is based on everybody reacting to the outrageous things going on. Whether it be her husband saying something weird on Ellen, or her having a sex tape, or her naked butt on that magazine thing, or whatever it may be. And so that's just another form of this, isn't it? Like, this is a little philosophical, but isn't it kind of the same thing? It's not as negative, or it's not as one-timey maybe, or whatever, but it's the same thing. We tend to do this. We see something and go, whoa, what the F? And we all jump on it, and that gives it the fame you're talking about.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I think there are degrees. Like, I don't know if Kim Kardashian has ever really, you can make the argument that maybe the Kardashianization of media harms us in the long run. Although that kind of sounds a lot to me like, you know, old man yelling at clouds, mm-hmm. but, I don't think that Kim Kardashian's ever hurt anybody. I mean, maybe people in her life that we aren't aware of, right? Maybe she's a really mean person, but in general, like the way that anybody else interacts with the Kardashians, like, mm-hmm. you know, she hawks skincare products on her Instagram and she shows her butt. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, she's not. It's not a perfect, obviously, it's not a good example compared directly to this. But even in this guy's case, he's not actually hurting anybody. He's hurting some feelings for sure.
Yeah.
But he's just blabbing and we should ignore him. And why can't we do that?
Ultimately, he's hurting himself and everybody was very excited to help him do it.
Yeah. People, you know, like that, though.
He stabbed himself in the eye and everybody else was you know, wanted to make sure that they all got the Ides of March, you know, triple digit stabs in there.
Yeah. I mean, if Wendy was here, she would she would have something to say about this because we talk about this a lot. But I always go back to these things like if you see kids ganging up on another kid, it may start with one bully and then they all kind of go along with it and nobody does the right thing and say, I'll leave them alone, guys, or whatever. It's because there's an aspect of I have difficult things in my life. I have things that aren't exactly perfect. I have things I'm trying to work on. But look over there. That's way worse. So I'm so happy to have all the heat and attention over there and not here. And I think that drives people. It's a survival mechanism. It makes them feel like they can, I don't know, they come out on top. If it's not,
hey, listen, man, you don't got to be the fastest person to escape the bear. You just have to not be the slowest.
Right.
Exactly.
There you go. You just summed it
just
up.
Just have to be faster than the slowest person.
Yeah, you just summed it up. But the fun thing about all this discussion is, isn't this sort of a prelude to something you're going to do on jury? You're going to have a larger discussion about this very issue?
No, I mean, I'm going to have this, but, you know, but just by myself.
All right. Well, cool. No, that's good. I mean, I'll take whatever you give us. But I like these kinds of socially. And note, everybody, none of this is political today. I just want to make a point that none of this, at least I don't think it is. Could you consider
this, it? Like, I don't know what this is with you, Scott, but like you just always have this one like doth protest too much moment. where you really do want to change the topic to politics, but hey, what's up with that orb photo? Instead, you just say, look, we're not right. talking about politics. If you want to talk about politics, just talk about politics.
No, the reason I say that is because every time you're on, I get emails who, even with discussions like today's, will find some political bent in it. They think there's some slant, and they're either like, I can't believe Jerry's still has this bad attitude, or it'll be the opposite. He's the only one that knows what he's talking about. I can't listen to Jerry anymore. Rah. And it's not even about politics. So it's, for me, it's a little defense mechanism against the, I know, two or three at least emails I'm going to get from people who think that we just had somehow a Democrat versus Republican conversation today.
Wait, do people think that we're on opposite sides?
I think that there are some people, I think everybody's hearing what they want to hear, and I think some people think that we are on opposite sides. And
really?
Yeah. Wow. And I think that people are nuts because you and
I think we're actually fairly closely.
We're kind of in the same corral. How we react to the things are very different. I'll give you that.
In fact, I would take a wild guess and say that we probably have the exact same voting record.
Yeah, probably.
Except for the fact that you didn't vote for my mom last time.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't vote for your mom. You voted. Did you vote for Mitt in 12?
I voted for Mitt in 12. Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, I think I think we did this once where we actually went through the candidates and figured out who voted for what. So yeah, like, you know, it's like people who, whatever, people hear what they want to hear. All I'm saying is they're going to hear something in this conversation we just had about Twitter etiquette and think it's politically slanted. And I don't know why they do that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not looking for political talk today. I don't care about the orb, the Wailing Wall, any of that stuff. His note at the Holocaust Museum. We're going to talk about any of those things. It's fine. You know, he's going to come home and we'll ratchet up the weird again and it's great. But this conversation was more, I don't know, this is a more universal thing. And I don't think it's limited to social media. It's just so amplified there. Right?
No, I mean, this is just, to me, again, this is not a conversation about anything else other than my belief that we are indeed in our pubescent phase in the internet in general, and social media is probably the key point of it. I mean, listen, I would say that it's not unlike, you guys have all raised kids that are teenagers and older now. So it's like, you know, social media is a point, it seems, in which a lot of people kind of hit the rocks at a certain point. Things get more heated on social media because at a certain element, you just kind of look on it. And I think that in our culture, we're learning things about ourselves, about that social media thing and about stuff like this. And I don't think that it portends some larger thing about outrage culture and SJWs and whatever else. I'm just saying I think that we can all take a look at that kind of behavior. And it is my belief that in 10 years we'll say, oh, wow, remember when that stuff happened? Like, I'm glad that we react a little bit different to that now. And of course, we'll have different and more profound problems at that point. And we'll be challenging different elements of our online discourse. But, you know, for right now, I think that this is a worthwhile conversation to have, at least to me.
I agree. This is how you do that. If your end goal is what you just described in 10 years, this is how you do it. It isn't figuring out more ways to fight over 140 characters. It's like this, and I'm not, this isn't me tooting my own horn. Maybe it is, but I have this policy now, personally, where if somebody just is slathering me with whatever on the internet, wherever it is, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, for whatever reason, whether it's called for or not, I give them a direct message invite and say, here's my email address, here's my Skype account. If you want to either email me or talk to me directly about this very issue, I'd love to get more of your perspective. And I can tell you, after doing this enough, about the ratio is about 1 out of 100 people take me up on it. But I'll take the one, because it means there's something, there is a way, right? Like, there's a way to actually get past this artifice and get to, like, real human interaction on issues that may be really important or not. It doesn't matter. But that's my new thing. So I may even mute you after I ask you the question on Twitter, because I don't want to hear you there anymore. But I'm happy to, like, let's bring it in. Let's get it in here, guys. Let's have a huddle. Let's talk about the future, so that maybe in 10 years, Justin Robert Young's Utopia Society. Utopian Society is a reality. It's happening. That's my hope. That's my dream. I have a dream.
You, geez. All right, come on now. Culture Vulture.
I love it. Did you hear my funny joke on Twitter today, though? I'm proud of this one. It said,
you made a funny joke?
I did.
Yeah, give me that funny joke.
Okay, here's how it went. Actually, you know what? I should read it so I don't screw it up. It was the following. Ah, shit. Hold on. This is going to be worse because it's taking me forever to find it. Okay, here we go. Here's what I said. You tell me. Justin, you're a connoisseur of fine comedy, so you'll have to tell me whether you think this tweet is stupid or funny.
Many people know me for my collection of fine comedies.
It's a little dad jokey, but here it is. And I quote, I'm creating a new superhero called the Placebo.
Oh, yeah.
People are pretty sure he saved them. See, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Come on, that'll be...
I clicked like on that when I saw it on Twitter.
That's right, Brian, because you are a real American hero who knows good comedy when he hears it, sees it.
I mean, that's something that you would find at the bottom of a box of cornmeal. Like,
cornmeal?
Cornmeal? Well, hold on, Grandpa.
Uncle Chuckles, funny of the day.
Laughter
is the best medicine.
It's a little
Are you familiar with Bazooka Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is that before your time?
Bazooka Joe, very much so.
Joe. Yeah. 5 cent and the comic.
Yeah. The gum's bad. The joke is good. The comic's all right. And Bazooka Joe, forever in our hearts and minds.
That's right.
Justin, never forget. since we've solved all social media problems in one fell swoop, is there anything you'd like to promote or mention before we cut you loose to the world?
Sure. Everybody, of course, remember June 30th, Action News, the card game from the folks that brought you The Contender, will launch on Kickstarter. Also, this is a flyer. I want, if there is anybody who is listening to my voice right now that is affiliated or works at San Francisco State University, San Jose State University, or I believe it's Consume River College in Sacramento, hit me up, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. They all have television studios that they use for their broadcast programs, and we're looking for a set in the Bay Area to shoot our Kickstarter video. We might build our own, but it would be really cool if we could use the set there. So
how about the Hack 5 guys? That's a pretty good set, isn't it? It's got good lighting.
What was that?
Hack 5, the kitchen stuff. He's got good stuff.
No, but it needs to look like good. The thing about those old sets, like the sets that they learn on now, is a lot of them are bought from the 80s and or the 90s. And we want that look. We want like an old television studio look. So either we're going to build our own and put a green screen behind, or we would love, especially with just like the lighting, just student broadcast journalism school like lighting is kind of exactly what we want to get our aesthetic. So we're probably going to wind up building our own. But if anybody listening to me knows somebody at one of those places, specifically in the broadcast journalism program, or, you know, someplace else in the Bay Area that might be willing to let us sneak in there, that would be super, super awesome.
I can think of a place in the Los Angeles Valley. They may have some sets for you, if you know what I'm saying. They may have a little place for you to go. The porn capital of the world, they may.
Oh, jeez.
You go to San Fernando Valley?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say with San Fernando Valley.
I'm saying.
All their studios look like, place where somebody's going to fix the cable or deliver a pizza. But that might work.
Buddy, if everybody who liked and retweeted that Placebo joke knew the seedy underbelly of your humor, I think they'd think twice, Scott.
Unfollow.
Unfollow. Mute. That's pretty good. All right. Well, Justin, it's always a pleasure. Do check us out on Hotline Monday as well. We put up a new episode yesterday. That was a lot of fun. And all the other shows he does and everything. Follow him at Justin R. Young on Twitter.
Mad tweets. Justin R. Young. Bye.
Mad tweets. See ya. Bye.
Mute bad tweets.
Oh, mute bad tweets.
You bet tweets.
Fair enough. I talked to Bill. He is in New York, and he's got a horrible spotty connection and cannot be here. So that would explain.
Got a horrible spot that he's going to have a doctor look at.
Indeed. So we'll have him back next Tuesday. He'll be back. Okay. We're going to get out of here, though, for now. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Fine episode of the show. I'd like to remind you that if you like supporting hard work like ours and you enjoy it, then patreon.com/TMS is the place for you. You get all kinds of cool rewards there. But even if all you do is just chuck a buck at us a month, it would really, really help. If you like the show, if you value it at all, we are primarily crowdfunded, and we really appreciate it. Patreon.com/TMS.
Our first level should just be called chuck a buck. Yeah, chuck a buck at us.
Chuck a buck's not bad. That's not bad.
Chuck,
I mean,
a buck,
you know,
at us.
More would be better, but chuck, you know, but chuck a $5. thank you all for being here. Frogpants.com/TMS for all our other stuff. If you need details on how to contact us, find us, all our links on the web, everything. It's all right there at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian's about to play one of the coolest mashups ever. Brian, what do you got?
Before that, though, let me really quickly tell you that the newest episode of Soundography just went up on the feeds today. Day late because Hammond and I, especially me, had some scheduling conflicts last weekend with recording the show, so we actually had to do it this weekend. But Electric Light Orchestra, Jeff Lynn and company, is the focus of our most recent episode of Soundography, so go check that out at soundography.com. And don't bring me down, Bruce.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right, this request comes to us from South Jordan, Utah. Big, tall, lanky guy.
Mm.
With a speck of dust t-shirt says, "Brian, we should play this on the show." I said, "Okay, sure." Mm. And it's awesome. This is, what is this called? This is
DJ Cumberbund. Who made it? I think DJ Cumberbund. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
His version of Earth, Wind, and Fire combined with Ozzy's Crazy Train.
That's right. There it is. Yeah, it's Earth, Wind, and Fire's September mixed with Crazy Train. This thing is fantastic. And we'll harken back to a time when TMS used to end with a mashup.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to be like, "Oh, I missed this. You guys should do it some more." No. Occasionally.
Very occasionally. No. Once in a while, they're brilliant like this one, and that's all you're going to get. So
that's right. So that's it. Here you go. Here's DJ Cumberbund and Earth, Wind, and Ozzy's.
Living this world. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh, yeah.